B-Pod Studios.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Well, you're at work.
Scott Zolak.
I think it's a disaster.
Mark Bertrand.
I know. I want to get it out.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Marty McCone, our thanks again to Chris Wagner of the Bruins. Catch the Bruins tonight right here on the Sports Hub. Julian Edelman is making some headlines today because of a tweet that he had a couple of days ago. He retweeted a tweet from the New England Patriots fans of Dallas. It's one of the many fan club chapters for the New England Patriots. Hardy, I know you're very familiar with this through Patriots pregame, right?
Oh, yes.
So they just retweeted a story about how Julian Edelman built a million dollar social media presence without incurring the wrath of Bill Belichick. This was a story that was written on Patriots Wire, which is associated with USA Today Sports. We don't have to go into all the details of that. But he retweeted that story and added this: Boston, I love you. You've weighed on my and my family's mind for a long time. He then put a number of emojis, you know, the hands up praising, hands together praying, a heart, hashtag gotta believe, three rings, a squirrel, all of the things that are associated with Julian Edelman.
Yes.
Which has led some people to say, does this mean he's done here? Does this mean that he's retiring? And I'm not sure that it means that. I don't think he's retiring. I don't think he's going to retire. Like, he's one of those guys that is going to go kicking and screaming and is never going to, like, officially retire. You know, did Wes Welker ever officially retire?
No, right?
Maybe. Maybe at some point he filed the papers, but he just kept playing for anyone who would call him up and let him play. That's how I envision Julian Edelman going out. No, there's no retirement. Unless, you know, his knee is really, really bad, which it may be. He's 34 years old with a knee injury and could have some bone on bone there. And maybe he just can't even physically do it.
Right. If there's some physical thing going on with him where the doctors and he decide that he's not going to play football anymore, no matter what, then he retires. But based on what just happened with Rob Gronkowski and Tom Brady and the Buccaneers, who's to say Brady's still not playing in the league in a couple fewer years from now? And they just need somebody to come in there and just like, look, yeah, the three catches a game, that's all we need you for. Just come and do that. So if there's any chance he's going to play, no, I don't think he's going to retire. So that's number one.
Like Julian Edelman to me is much like Dustin Pedroia. Mm. Right? Dustin Pedroia has got a similar knee thing and is still trying to do it, still trying to get back, still trying to play. So Edelman to me is like Pedroia. Like, if the doctor says you got to sit out a year and then you might be able to do it, I think he'd say, I'll sit out a year and then I'll try and do it and be that guy that Hardy just described. So I don't think it's retirement, but it could be an acknowledgement that he thinks he's getting cut. And if they're going to cut him because it's going to save them $4 million in cap space and it's going to save them that money, I think they'd have the respect to go to him and let him know it's about to happen. Right? As they start to figure out the offseason plans.
Or ask to restructure as opposed to an outright cutting of the player.
True. They could do that. Cut, re-sign, restructure, any of those things.
Right.
But maybe not. Maybe they look at it and say, no, this guy doesn't have anything left, and we need to get younger, and we don't want the guy who provides three catches a game, because we're not in a good position like Tom Brady is right now. We got a lot more to do. We got a lot of work to do to get younger and get healthier. And so if that's happening, that's what that tweet would be about. I don't think it's about him saying I'm hanging it up, because he's a kicking and screaming type of guy, the way most of us would be if you had the opportunity and the physical ability and talent to be a professional athlete. Like, would you ever give that up? No way.
No, it's like, so tough. It's so tough to you know, and we talk about it in terms like, you know, of course you could. You go on to do other things. These are young guys who still are, you know, full of energy. And whether it's Julian Edelman's injuries or you know, like we talked about with Rob Gronkowski, you know, still supremely fit, but with just a couple of nagging injuries that might prevent them from playing at their highest level, but they desperately want to keep playing. And like you said, Beetle, be a part of the entire culture and everything that comes from being an NFL player, which you have your identity wrapped up in. So there's a lot of reasons for him to want to continue. But that tweet, it reads like, God, thinking a lot about Boston because of all the great things that have happened for me there. And I'm just thinking about what it's going to be like to not play there anymore when I'm playing somewhere else. I mean, that's kind
because
of
because I'm going to Tampa this offseason after the Patriots cut me.
It's hard not to take it to that point. I mean, it's difficult if you convince yourself that Edelman's not ready to completely hang it up. Then what else could that mean? Boston, been on my mind a lot lately. For what?
Because I just love it. Yeah. It's just the greatest place on earth. It is God's gift to the world.
You're thinking about the traffic? You're thinking about your Duncan? What? What is it?
Yes.
What is
it? All of it.
Yeah.
The weather, really. It's all the best. Just all the best.
How much of a difference would Edelman have made this season?
If he was healthy?
Yeah.
I hope a big difference, but if he didn't make a big difference, it wouldn't be his fault. Like, some of those short and intermediate passes from Cam Newton were not exactly the best.
And that's why I don't think he would have made a big difference this year. Now, next year, who knows?
Right.
Because who knows who's going to be throwing the ball. But on those short and intermediate passes where Edelman has made his bones, made his living, underneath, it's quick routes, it's all timing, it's all placement, it's all being just on the same page and sharing a brain with a quarterback, I don't think it would have made a damn bit of difference.
There's also some speculation on the part of Greg Bedard that every Patriots opt-out could be back next season, every single one of them.
Every COVID opt-out.
Yes, COVID opt-outs from the start of the year, all those veterans.
Yep.
Do you want that? I'm not convinced I do want that for the Patriots.
Well, who specifically do you not want?
Well, it's not about any one specific player in there, although Brandon Bolden, I mean, come on. But it's about the fact that they're all older players for the most part, the guys that we really care about. And after taking a year off, the older you are in the league, it's really hard to bounce back. And I don't think there's any guarantee that those players are the same players they were a season ago in 2019 when you bring them back in 2021. And so I think the Patriots should be really aware of that and should consider that when it comes to the money they'll be able to possibly save from moving on from some of those players, taking a real evaluation on what they expect those players to be. Like Patrick Chung, don't they already have Patrick Chung's replacement? Isn't Kyle Duggar the replacement?
Yeah. Seems like, and I like Patrick Chung, and
I do too.
He's like one of those guys where I would say, absolutely, I want to have Patrick Chung back here. However, when you think about, all right, who's been playing his position and how were they in that position? You're going to need to make room to bring some other guys in here, mostly offensively. And when I think about the opt-outs, it's like you said, Beetle, it's like Brandon Bolden. I can live without that. I think about two players when I think about the opt-outs from this year. I think Patrick Chung and Dante Hightower. Those are the two I think of.
Sure. Two guys that are in their 30s.
Yes.
And just took a year off from playing the sport.
And my gut knee-jerk reaction is say, absolutely want them both back. Can they make do without those players, and would they be better served by putting those resources elsewhere?
Well, at linebacker, they certainly need the help, right?
I would think they would want both of them back, but especially Hightower.
As would I, but I don't know that Hightower is the same guy. That's all I would say. How do you know that? I mean, the Patriots are going to have to figure that out.
Yes.
Is this guy still the same player? Because, you know, he very successfully the last two seasons played in almost every game. Played 15 games in each of the last two seasons. He was hurt in 17 where he missed time. But he's never had a season with I stand corrected. He's had one season in which he's played in all 16 games. And that was in 2013, 8 years ago. It's a hard position where guys get beat to crap and they have shortened careers and they get beat up. And so in his career now with 8 full seasons under his belt and now a year off and in his 30s, I don't know what the guy's going to have left to give. You know, whether or not you should bring him back and play him and pay him or go younger and get into the draft and try something else there. Like, this team's not going to the Super Bowl next year. You know, they're still not there yet.
Yeah.
They're in a building process. Is Dante Hightower a good veteran that can help guys? Yeah, he was even doing that this year. He was trying to help guys even when he wasn't in the facility. So if you're bringing him back with the understanding of it's a great veteran leader and we want his smarts and we want him to help younger guys, well, then it makes a lot of sense. If you're bringing him back because you're banking on him to be really good, I don't know that that's going to work. You've got to expect some level of a drop-off there.
Just from the extra year, sure. I mean, there may be some benefit to taking the time off and allowing your body to get healthy, but and you don't have another season of wear and tear on it, but at this age, it's more about the age than the recovery, I think.
617-779-0985, the telephone number. You want to weigh in on that? NFL ratings are down. We've got that in the mix that we want to get to as well. Story that's out there today. All that's on the way.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Former QB, always laser focused.
Like going to bed at night, bringing a rattlesnake in your room. I'm sleep on a hot spot, on a hot rock.
And the guy who is always by his side.
The Lakers, UFOs, mayonnaise, all in the mix here.
Zolak and Bertrand.
If that makes any sense.
No.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Is the telephone number. Let's get back to some of your calls on everything that is in the mix. I also want to tell you about NFL ratings in just a moment, but I know you've been waiting, and I want to get to the phones. Michael's in Brookline on the James Harden saga. What's up, Michael?
Yeah. How you doing, guys?
Good.
If you had asked me last year, I would have said I would make the trade because of Jaylen Brown's general shooting and Marcus Smart's shot selection and how many shots he was taking a game. But if you look at how much Jaylen Brown's shooting has improved and Marcus Smart's quantity has gone down, that's where I want those guys. So I would make the trade, and Harden's 31 and Jaylen Brown is, what, 23? It's too much of an ask.
That is assuming that Jaylen Brown, and they're different players. You know, James Harden is doing his own thing out there, certainly offensively and nothing defensively. But with that comes some expectation that Jaylen Brown is going to be the type of impact player that James Harden is. And I don't know that he's going to get to that level. That's a rarefied air. And it's again, it's not the elite of the elite. He's a top player, but there's a reason why not every team covets him and would automatically make the trade necessary in order to get him. He's not in the first breath of top players in the league. He's in the second, third. So does Jaylen Brown have the ability to reach that type of level where he makes this the same, not the same type of impact, but the same level of impact on a game that James Harden does?
I just go back to that Kyrie trade too, and obviously it didn't work out with Irving, but you look at what you gave up, and it was Isaiah Thomas, who had one leg, you know, Jay Crowder, and the eighth pick in the draft, which is, you know, Colin Sexton, who's a nice player, but you're not regretting any of those and going, I can't believe, you know, we lost Jay Crowder. This deal, if it blows up in your face and James Harden decides to pull a Kyrie Irving, and now you're watching Jaylen Brown in Houston, you're going, oh my God, I can't believe we just did that.
As much as
oh yeah, high risk, but high reward.
Right.
Is what I would say.
Yeah, but as much as I like Jay Crowder, whatever misgivings or second thoughts I had about when the Celtics trade, nothing compared to how I'd feel about Marcus Smart. I think Marcus Smart is much more of a presence on this team than Jay Crowder was. And the Isaiah Thomas, that, you know, that speaks for itself based on his condition and what he was able to do.
Pete's in Delaware. Hi, Pete.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good.
Thanks for taking my call. So I have a question for you, which I don't know the answer, and you guys don't know, but we can speculate. So I listened to Danny Ainge's comments this morning, and I just wonder, is Jason Tatum now involved in all discussions with maybe big-time moves like that? Just the way the league is now with the power of the players. And I, like I said, I don't have the answer. I'm just wondering what you guys would think about, does Jason Tatum have a lot more power than we might think?
Oh, I already think he has the power, so I'm not exactly sure about Pete, as I said, when Jason Tatum signed his extension, that it's great. It's nice that he signed it. But if any point Jason Tatum decides he doesn't want to play for the Celtics anymore, he can put up a fight and he won't play for the Celtics anymore.
Yeah.
No, I agree with you guys. And as a Celtics fan, I just, my biggest concern moving forward is that in a couple of years, we're the New Orleans Pelicans or we're the Houston Rockets. And I know there's nothing we can do about it, but I think as a Celtic fan, I've heard for years, let's go get this guy, let's go get that guy. Well, you know what? The tables could be turned and everyone's coming for our guys. And those guys could leave because we're not a destination. I wish we were, but the big superstars don't seem to think we are. And I just wonder if Harden's not here or Danny didn't push it because maybe Jason Tatum didn't want him here.
That's a good angle. Who does Jason Tatum want to play with?
And is he getting any say in a move like that or in the decision-making process?
Just the way the NBA is, I think absolutely. Yeah, you have to consult your stars. You know, I was listening to a podcast yesterday with Bobby Marks, the old Nets GM, and he said, you know, when Deron Williams was their guy, he was a major part of their decision-making in terms of bringing in Pierce and Garnett and all that stuff. And you have to keep your stars happy. Otherwise, they shut it down, gain 55 pounds, and walk out the door.
We're up to 55 now, Lacone. My God. That's a good question. Do they talk to Tatum? He's young. Do they respect him enough to go to him and say, what do you think here? What are you thinking? What do we need to do on this team? Does that conversation happen? Has he established himself enough? I know, I mean, based on the contract he has, where they feel like he's earned it. All fair. Fair to wonder. And based on what you're telling us, because I hope they do. Because that means that he will stay for the entire time. That means that he will be committed here. If that's what it takes, keeping him involved. Keeping him in that conversation.
Bradley Beal, St. Louis connection.
We'll see. Chris in the car. Hey, Chris.
Hi, guys. I just wanted to push back a little on the report that the Rockets, they may have asked for Brown and Smart, but what they actually got in return is just an expiring contract to Victor Oladipo. They didn't even keep Caris LeVert. And all the Nets gave up was LeVert and Jared Allen, which if we're going to compare the two players for each team, Brown and Smart are much more valuable than LeVert and Allen. I like Allen as a player, but as of right now, the way the Celtics are comprised, you have two guys under 25 averaging 27 points a game and above 7 rebounds. There's absolutely no reason to break this team up. They're only going to get better. No one really wins in the NBA until you're mid-20s, late-20s. Harden's proved he's not that guy. He scores a lot, but when he gets into the playoffs, he'll choke. So it's just nothing you want. And the I hear a lot from radio talkheads, and I understand you guys have to produce a show, but you're always looking for the next big move when you have the two future franchise cornerstones already here, and you're seeing it this year.
Okay, well, don't call it a sports talk radio thing. I mean, this is what the NBA does. Sports talk. No, that's what the Nets did. They looked for the next big move. They've done it three times. They brought in Durant. They brought in Kyrie. Now they've brought in James Harden. That's real life. That's already happened. Just because it doesn't happen in Boston doesn't mean it doesn't happen. LeBron teamed up with AD and went to L.A. I mean, what are you talking about? This is the league where all this nonsense goes on, where the crazy, unthinkable happens.
It's like Disney World of sports.
It happens here, baby.
You had two guys who had made the ascension and had established themselves as the two guys in Oklahoma City, and they were up 3-1 in the Western Conference Finals and lost those next three games. And what happened? Did they stand pat and say, okay, we're almost there? No. Kevin Durant left so that he could go to a team that, okay, well, this is a sure thing. So you say, like, you've got the two guys. Is it a sure thing? No, but you think so. NBA teams and other NBA players looking for their next move want the sure thing.
Can I give you a take on B-Rob's report, too, not to put down B-Rob in any way?
Sure.
I think it's coming from the Celtics angle on this. I think that report is Celtics-friendly because the reaction we've already heard today from Celtics fans is, no way, what are you, nuts, right? That's crazy. You're not giving up Brown. You're not giving up Smart. And you notice how the draft picks aren't defined in that report? What if the draft pick ask was far less in that deal because that's what the point that the negotiations had hit by the end? Because we know how much the Celtics like to stockpile their draft picks and know how much they like to cuddle up with those picks and take them to bed with them at night, right? And tuck them in every evening because they treat those draft picks like children. They are to be cherished. And so I think that that report is a little vague on the draft ask because maybe it started with Marcus Smart and four first rounders and the Celtics went, oh, no, not the draft picks. Talk anything but the draft picks. And they said, all right, fine, screw the picks. Give us Brown. Give us Brown and Smart and we'll talk about it. And that's where things ended up. And that looks better for the Celtics when they say, we talked about it. We had conversations, but ultimately the ask was too much. Well, who's that ask according to? And I think it's according to the Celtics. That's not to put B-Rob down anyway, because he's a good reporter. That's what I would say about it. What was the starting ask? Where did they start and where did they end? Was that the only package ever discussed between the Rockets and the Celtics? Methinks no. Methinks those draft picks were in the conversation, and Danny said, oh, no, 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 no. I snuggle those up in bed with me like a blankie every night, right in my face, my lovey, right in my face every night. No way. I keep those close. I don't like talking about my draft picks. Those are my draft picks. Those are mine, and you can't have them. That's what it is. That's why you get like Chris Wagner, who scoffed at the idea today. Chris Wagner, Boston Bruin and Boston sports fan. Mike and Salty had a reaction to that Wagner call. Hi, Mike.
Hey, how's it going, guys? Yeah, I just thought it was pretty funny how he said upon getting to camp, your body fat percentage has to be under 10%. Like, I mean, it makes sense. You're a professional athlete. Like, obviously, we're talking two different sports here, basketball and hockey, but like, how do you let yourself go in the off season, especially with what we got going on? We have such like short breaks in between the seasons. Like, James Harden's an absolute barrel now. How does that happen?
Well, how is, and I will take Chris Wagner and his assessment at face value. Do you remember what he said, what Harden looks like now?
He said, what, 16%?
16%? I'm like, that doesn't actually sound all that bad.
It's like, not for a regular guy.
He didn't look like that.
I think that baby blue the velvet they had him wearing the other day did him no favors. This is coming from a fat guy myself, okay? Colors matter, dude. Colors matter.
T-Bone.
And they didn't do that guy any favors putting him in those pajamas, okay? That was not. And they ordered it. This is another thing. If they had ordered the size he is now versus the size he was a year ago, like, he needs to talk to the equipment guy and update his measurements. Okay? Because they are not doing him any favors with these. Again, they look like pajamas, right? Like he called Pajamagram, and that's what he got sent to him. Like, what are we doing here? You know, those are velvety soft for the ladies right there. Not for Harden right now. Poor guy.
T-Bone, what's your body fat percentage? I know you know it.
I have no idea.
Oh, come on.
No clue. No clue.
Do you remember when John Henry was talking about Panda's body fat percentage?
Yes.
17%.
17%.
Yeah.
And we all scoffed at that. How far away does Harden look from that? Like, pretty far, but not like
he's
miles.
Yeah.
Not miles.
I'm telling you, he's going to look great in like 3 weeks' time.
That's a lot of water weight. You're chalking that up to water weight.
Three weeks' time. He's going to be ready to go in Brooklyn. It's going to be good. Yep. I'm rooting for him. Rooting for him and the Nets now. I'm all in. All in on rooting for that Nets front office. And by the way, I've always said I like Harden's to watch him play, knowing that he plays zero defense. He's just a fun guy to watch, and I don't even know that he's a winner. You know, he's gotten close a few times. He's played in the finals. But I don't have anything to personally hate him for, and I don't dislike Durant. I think he's a bit of a crybaby at times, but I don't dislike him. I dislike Kyrie. That guy stinks.
Yeah.
not a basketball, just in terms of being agreeable on anything.
With regard to the body fat percentage question here, Beetle, McCone asked me something off the air earlier that I think we need to bring up, and I want to see if you have an answer for it.
Oh, what is it?
It has to do with desserts and why a certain dessert is not more prevalent on tables and dessert carts all over this great land of ours.
Oh, well, that sounds exciting.
I thought you'd be interested.
Desserts? That's my department, man.
All right.
Not so much right now, but yes, for sure.
We can't have this conversation if Zoe were here because he's anti-dessert.
But we're very much against dessert.
Is he really?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah. But yeah. we can have it next if you want to.
Okay, and I will quickly tell you about the ratings being down in the NFL. I promise those details. I'll tell you that and desserts and the takes and takeaways on the way next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Got an itch for sports talk while you work?
So just dropped his phone down his shirt.
You want to know why? He was using it to scratch his back.
Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
You want to give us the price of Aaron's mower while you're at it there, McCone?
Look, man. Safety protocols now. We tape our last headlines.
Why didn't you pull back the curtain on all the secrets around here?
I thought I was done for the day. I got a little cocky. The papers were gone, and then it was a fire drill getting back for the time and temperature. That's on me. Yeah.
29.6, 28.9. You remember what you said?
I was like 20, 16, 60.
59, 9.
So Aaron zero-turn mower for like $33 million. Aaron's people almost canceled their advertising on the spot. We had to do a lot of tap dancing to allow you back on the air.
And it's only $400,000.
Payment plans available. Yeah.
Oh, that clip is going to live for a while. Stand by. Stand by. Stand by.
I can't. Well, I almost said I can't believe T-Bone hung about to drive that long. Of course he did.
He told me to stand by. I'm just going to keep standing by.
So get a Gravely or Aaron Zero Turn Mower for as little as $2,069.9.
See, after the 20, I was like, I'm in a lot of trouble here. I don't know.
That's $20,069,900.
Oh, it's like bench time. Anyone? Stand by. Stand by.
2,069.9.
All right. We had Chris Wagner earlier. We forgot to ask him about his beer, Hardy.
This beer came out last year, right? The Harpoon. God, what's his? Don't Poke the Bear.
And again, we told him it should have been Poked the Beer, right?
Oh, my God, right?
Right, that would have made sense. Anyway. Yes, his is the Black and Gold Hazy IPA.
Yes.
And Charlie Coyle's beer is the Black and Gold American Pils. And so this is all with Harpoon, and you can actually vote on who you want to win. Vote for Wags is what I would say.
Of course.
And check it out. If you want to just get the link to that, follow Chris Wagner on Twitter, at ChrisWags23 on Twitter. I've retweeted it as well.
I think just based on name alone, I'd go with Hazy IPA as opposed to American Pils.
Right.
I know they're talking about a Pilsner.
Who cares? Just vote for the right guy you like. It's now a popularity contest.
Right. It has nothing to do with the I'm sure the beers are both delicious, but just vote for Chris Wagner.
Vote for Wags.
Yeah. HarpoonBrewery.com. You'll see all this stuff there.
Nice. Do you see this report about NFL ratings being down?
Yes.
As much as 20 to 25% last weekend? It's such a dip that I'm like waiting for that to be wrong. Like, oh, is that possible? They were down 7% over the course of the regular season. How the hell in the world? This is some of the best football of the year. How does it go down that much?
How did baseball go down when there was nothing else going on? How were ratings down for any sport this year when we were allegedly all stuck at home with nothing to do but watch TV and watch sports? I don't know how it happened with baseball. I don't know how some MLS numbers weren't helped by this. I don't know how football went down. I don't know.
So, you look at it and say, maybe it's because there were three games on each day. And when you have two games, maybe you're more committed to it. And then when you sort of add a third game, it's like, oh, well, it's 11 straight hours of football today. You know, I got to break up the day. I'll catch some of this game, see a little bit here, and you don't fully commit. Maybe that's part of it. Maybe the expansion of the NFL playoffs is coming back to bite them in their ratings. Which I will not be unhappy about because I did not appreciate the expansion of the playoffs. You see that, Chris Gasper? This is what you get. You get decreased ratings. 7% drop in the regular season to a 25% and 20% drop on Sunday. Yikes. Not good. Brown Steelers was the most watched primetime show since last February's Super Bowl, which tells you the quality of the games might not even be the thing that drives it. Because that game wasn't that great of a game.
Yeah, I blame the Bears Saints game, which nobody wanted to watch. Nobody just pulling down the entire schedule. Even with the Nickelodeon feed, not enough.
What's the dessert item you guys were talking about?
Oh, McCona has this whole thing.
Well, we were talking off the air about desserts, and I said I don't know why.
No, we were not. You brought up apropos of nothing, complete non sequitur.
I think it's in the same family.
I was making my lunch with oatmeal and sliced banana, and McCone says, "Here's something." Go ahead, McBone.
I don't know. When was the last time you had pudding, Bertrand?
What time is it?
Like 11:15 at the 11:15. No, I'm kidding. I don't know.
That's right.
That's not something you eat a lot of. Like, even if you like pudding.
No, but that is pissed off McCone to no end.
I think it's an elite dessert that doesn't get enough credit, and no one's eaten it recently.
Pudding? That's like...
No one in the world has had pudding. What happened to pudding?
You know, it's funny. It doesn't get enough run. We were mentioning Vegas buffets the other day, Hardy, with Joe Murray here.
Yeah.
A pudding with a little dollop of whipped cream on top seems to be one of those things that always shows up in a very tiny cup. Yeah. At the Vegas buffets.
Just a little smidgen of pudding.
It's maybe like 2 teaspoons. Like a little after-dinner delight there. Yeah. That would really go a long way with you, McCone, wouldn't it?
I think it's a great dessert, and I don't know why we don't have it enough.
Okay.
I was talking to Billy about this, too, and I think, like, if you're going to a dinner party,
yeah,
bringing a bowl of pudding should be an acceptable...
Nah, that doesn't feel formal enough to me.
It doesn't feel like you put in enough effort. You bake a cake... You make a pie. No, I whipped up some Jell-O instant pudding. It took me 4.5 minutes. Here you go.
I think pudding's better than cake, though. I'll stand by that.
I am not a cake eater. Now, Lanny also says he thinks this is the Cosby effect. People just don't want anything
with
pudding.
No question. Yeah.
Jell-O
pudding pops.
Well, how do you feel about Jell-O, McCone?
I'm a Jell-O guy. Yeah, I think pudding's better, but I could eat a good Jell-O.
More Jell-O consumed per capita in what state than any other? It's good trivia.
Florida.
Utah.
Interesting.
Mormons big on Jell-O?
Big, cheap dessert. Just make a big thing of Jell-O and let all 19 of your kids just get into it like a trough.
I don't know when the last time I had Jell-O was.
Well, I don't care about Jell-O, but yeah. I will say this about pudding. It's not very sophisticated, so if you're going to go through the trouble of making a dessert, maybe you're going to put in a little extra effort, which is why I recommended to you the trifle, which he had never had, Beetle. He's never had a
never
trifle.
Never had trifle?
Oh.
No, it's... Either. Yeah.
I mean, trifle hit its peak popularity probably in 1993, but...
That long ago.
It's still out there, man.
It's still there. You can get little individual trifles, one big bowl, one big heap.
I mean, trifle really has its own bowl, right? Like, that's a trifle bowl.
Call it a gelato, by the way. Hardy will, get very upset.
Well,
gelato is not...
It has nothing to do with a trifle.
I thought that's what you were describing.
I started explaining by saying it's got layers. First, maybe you start with the layer of whipped cream, and then he goes, oh, like tapioca?
No.
I said, no,
idiot.
Jackass. It's layers. Then you get some brownie, and then you get pudding, and then you get more whipped cream.
So, Hardy, the thing with pudding is there's no form to it. Which is why it can't ever be a classy dessert.
It can't show up with just a bucket of pudding. with a Homer bucket of pudding.
Right. You're better off showing up with a half a gallon of Brigham's.
Nicer presentation.
Right?
It probably is, yeah.
Now, here's the other thing.
You could class it up with some whipped cream on top, though, like you talked about.
Sure.
Not a lot of flavors.
Too, you'd be better.
Not enough flavors. You've got vanilla, chocolate,
banana, which is gross.
Banana,
I
which
like
I
bananas.
Love.
I don't like banana pudding.
Nah, but stick some Nilla wafers in the top, and now you've jazzed it up, and it's all right. And let's not forget butterscotch. That's a delightful pudding.
Yeah, butterscotch
pudding.
Is nice, yeah.
But that's it. Nice. You got 4 pudding flavors. Nice. It's
really
not enough. People want more variety, McCone.
Yeah. No, it's true. It's true.
And you just came up with this out of nowhere today, huh, McCone?
No, I just think pudding, I don't know when the last time I had pudding was, but I really, really like it.
I saw him over there. He was shaking his head and just wringing his hands, and I could tell he was distressed about something. I'm like, what's wrong, kid? And he says, pudding. Man, people just don't give pudding enough credit.
Really don't. Yeah, I guess
give me some space to discuss this today.
Can you carve out 10 minutes at the end of the show for my pudding take?
Done. Want to make sure it's in an hour where there's a lot of people listening. Yeah. Too.
Release the hounds.
Get as much support as I can.
Oh, I guarantee we got loaded lines. I haven't even looked.
Oh, wow. All right. Let's get to the takeaways. We've even got a leftover from this week in show history.
They give.
Give it to me. Give it to me now, damn it.
Tell me I'm wrong. I don't know how you could.
And they give.
need to break news every day.
And they give.
I love breaking news.
Can't get this kind of analysis just anywhere.
And now, it's time to take.
That's not a hot take.
End of the day.
Hot takes from the day.
Today's takeaways with Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5, The Sports Hub. That's sweet.
Oh, do I have the takeaways copy here, T-Bone? Just give me a moment.
Yeah, they're brought to you by Awaken 180. We know that.
Brought to you by Awaken 180. Awaken 180 weight loss, that is. With current gym regulations, more people are discovering that weight loss starts and ends with nutrition. Drop weight every week with your customized Awaken 180 weight loss program. I will tell you, McCone, there is even an Awaken 180 pudding.
Oof. I'm in.
There is.
I'm in.
It exists. There is pudding on the program. All right, let's get to that leftover item from This Week in Show History.
This was from 2018, 3 years ago. Kenan Lowell called us for what was only his second time ever calling into the program.
All right, well, actually, I wanted a technical question from Zoe. First of all, Zoe, I love you calling the game.
Thanks.
At work whenever you're doing the game, and you really paint the picture. And I see what's going on when you're talking on the radio.
Good. That's my job on the radio, because you're not obviously watching it, is to sort of paint the picture.
I'm listening to it. I can't see it. I have to work a machine, but it's about to get the radio. You know what I mean?
I'm excited this week, Ken. 6th straight AFC title game I'm calling, so looking forward to that one.
Yes, sir. But, Zoe, I wanted to ask you, all right, the Jacksonville defense. First of all, let me preface this. This morning, Toucher and Rich, came out with a stat like, Their defensive numbers are kind of like skewed because they were playing like really weak teams during the season, right? And I'm wondering, like, do you think, in your opinion, is that 7 in the box, is that going to work against the Patriots?
Yeah, isn't that kind of weird?
I know.
Oh, man. Because the relationship was so different then. You can hear it in the call and Zoe's response.
His first call ever was about the clubhouse in
walking
Chicago.
Around naked.
What? Grown men naked, walking 2-4. Isn't that kind of weird? So when I asked him that at the end, it was a callback to that, but he didn't. He just agreed with me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Isn't that kind of weird?
I know.
He had a real football question there.
Sure did.
Wow. So that was our final item there from This Week in Show History, which we couldn't get to a couple hours ago because T-Bone wanted to clear the lines for Chris Wagner calling in 50 minutes later. It's the weirdest thing ever. So, but he is mad with power.
We wouldn't have had time for the pudding take.
T-Bone is budgeting our time for the day.
Drunk with power.
T-Bone, do we have another thing to play or no? We good?
Oh, that's it. All right, back to the pudding then.
No.
No? What about individual pudding skins? You could package those up and sell.
McCone, you're back tomorrow?
I'm not. You guys have McCarthy. I'm with Jones tomorrow. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Oh, we got McTakey tomorrow.
I reached out to McTakey today, and I told him he needs to have Tyler on the podcast.
I was going to say, we're going to double down on the baseball takes tomorrow.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
Oh, good.
Oh, boy.
Walking around naked, 2-4, showers, and... Isn't that kind of weird?
Yeah, a little bit, Ken. A little bit. You know who loves that clip maybe more than anybody I know? Dan Roach. Who, by the way, I believe has been named the Massachusetts Sportscaster of the Year.
I did see him win an award. Congratulations, Dan.
Congratulations, Roachy. Well deserved.
Very good.
We're back at it tomorrow. Right. Getting ready for a big weekend of football in the divisional round.
All right.
And I'm looking forward to it. But also looking forward to Felger Mass. They're coming up next. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Yeah.
Bye.
Isn't that kind of weird?
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.